I would like to share and celebrate that as a migrant doctor from the Philippines who underwent 18, it took me 18 years to where I am now. It took me 6 years to upskill as a radiologist, and it took me 10 years to overcome the moratorium. I was recently awarded the Filipino Australian of the Year Award in Canberra. It's the, for me, it's the highest honor of all of my grand doctors. The reason being because I want to dedicate that award to migrant people who are giving a lot of serving the community, local or national. I dedicate this to other migrant doctors who've gone through what I've gone through, who are still going through and will go through these struggles, obstacles, setbacks as a migrant doctor who just wants to be a doctor in Australia and save lives. So I want to dedicate my award because it means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to
you. Yeah, it really does.
Are you a health professional wanting to explore all the options life has to offer? Then you've come to the right place. The Balanced Medics Handover podcast is all about living outside the box of what we've been told. I'm Isabella, your host, a junior doctor from Australia and trained coach. I'll be interviewing health professionals from all walks of life, artists, authors, non-clinical specialists, and more. These stories show that our choices are endless. Let's take the journey together. This is The Handover. Hello and welcome back to the Balanced Medics Handover podcast. This episode, we have Dr. Vanessa Atienza Ippolito, a clinical breast and interventional radiologist and solopreneur. She is the clinical director and business owner of Women's and Breast Imaging, a specialized imaging center of women's breast imaging in Western Australia. She is also a passionate educator and published co-author of 4 book anthologies. On top of this, Vanessa is a triathlete, wife, and mother. Her mission is to empower women to take charge of their health and well-being. We're going to talk all about her journey through medicine, her new book, and women in leadership. Without further ado, let's hand over to Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa. How are you?
Hello, Isabella. I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's really great to have this chat and meet you here today.
Oh, likewise. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to start how I like to start most episodes. Can you share your journey through medicine in your words?
So my journey as a medical doctor has been very long and windy. I did my medicine in the Philippines. I did my 3-year trimester pre-medicine BS Bachelor of Science in biology, and then 4 years of medicine in the Philippines, and then 1 year of internship, and then medical board exam. After that, I was doing moonlighting, like what you guys do as a resident medical officer. I was doing that. But I felt that during those period, I said, I think I want something more. So I actually applied for general surgery training, which I did for 3 months. During that period, I said, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I love surgery. I wanted to be a surgeon, but it was literally hard work, meaning I think until now the doctors or the junior doctors in the Philippines are still doing 36 hours shift straight, no sleep, and for me to do that in 3 months was exhausting. There were periods in my life that I was driving back home and I was falling asleep when I'm in a stoplight, and I felt that this is not for me. I think I'll be a great doctor surgeon, but I don't think I'll be a great surgeon, meaning I don't think I will have time to study. So I will be very good with my skills, but I'll be probably don't know any theories. So I said to myself, I do not want to be a mediocre doctor. So that's it for me. surgery is out of my plan. And so since then, after that, I felt lost and feeling depressed because as a junior doctor in the Philippines, we were used to having a straight pathway. We were used to know what we're doing next. And not knowing what to do next was just daunting for me. And so it was just, one of my friends just called me and said, she's doing first year of training in obstetrics, gynae, and she said, oh, Vanessa, guess what? There's an opening in radiology. Are you interested? And I said to her, no, I'm not. And so, by the way, maybe I am interested because I have nothing to do. Well, I'll just have a go. And so I did that. And 1 year, 1 week during that introductory, observership, I fell in love with radiology. And so I did 4 years of radiology in the Philippines. After that, I did, a consultant radiology jobs in different imaging centers in the Philippines and decided this is not financially rewarding. And so I dreamed big for myself and applied for a fellowship position all over the world. I applied for interventional fellowship position, and I even applied for radiographer job in America. Would you believe? Anyway, so to a short story, I got an offer to be an interventional radiology fellow here in Perth, Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. My plan was to do 1 year of the fellowship training and go back to the Philippines and theoretically be the first female interventional radiologist of the Philippines, because back then there were only two male consultants who are interventional radiologists. But my plan wasn't destiny's plan or God's plan. January 2005, I arrived in Perth. I met my husband in March 2005. We got engaged June 2005, and we got married in 2005. So instead of me going back to the Philippines, I stayed and did apply for, what's it called? The RANSA, radiology assessment, so that I can be a qualified radiologist in Australia, which I ended up doing upskilling for 6 years. So in addition to my 4 years of radiology training, I did almost 6 years of fellowship position or upskilling as an immigrant doctor, because as you know, as an immigrant doctor, you go through upskilling and then exams and yeah. So during those 5.5 or 6 years, I did 1 year of intervention, 2 years of breast imaging fellowship, 1 year of MSK, and 6 months of pediatric imaging fellowship. And then I got qualified, and then I worked as a breast screen radiologist for breast screen WA. For 3 years, and also did private practice doing regional remote radiology consultant job. I was doing actually fly in, fly out, going to input to go to regional. You either drive or fly. So the company was flying me to Esperance, to Kalgoorlie, doing interventional work, which I enjoyed very well. But having young kids at that time, it was challenging. So I was given an opportunity almost 10 years ago or 9 years ago to work here at Women's Breast Imaging as a locum consultant, breast radiologist or locum radiologist. And so I did it for a year. After a year, the previous owner offered me this business, sold it to me, and I said yes. So I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary next year as the business owner of Women's and Breast Imaging here in Kozaslow.
Wow. I'm at a loss for words. What a story. And I love the whirlwind romance part of it. And it makes you think, you know, when things are meant to be, they happen, right? Like you arrive and you met and you were married the same year. And to dreaming big and that longing for more, it's just really cool to hear it. And also being theoretically the first woman in the Philippines to be an interventional radiologist, like that's huge. Dreaming big, and it's often hard to dream for things
yes.
that you can't see modeled by someone else, but actually going for it is really great. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you too.
Now, I wanted to ask another question that maybe it's a long way to think back. Why did you choose medicine in the first place?
So I don't know with you, but when I was growing up, my mom told me that I'm going to be a doctor. And so my parents were separated, and then my dad was a vet, and my mom said, your dad's dream was to become a doctor, so you're going to be a doctor, and so that you can fulfill his dream. And so I said, okay, as an obedient daughter, that was my focus, and since then I was just, feeling that I'm going to be a doctor, so I'll just study hard to become a doctor. I did not have any role models at that time. I didn't know what I would, encounter or experience. I did not know that it's going to be long and hard. I know that it's just going to be hospital work. I did not know that there will be lots of late nights. Uncles. So there were many tears, and many times I'd like to give up. Even during pre-med and medicine, I cried a lot, and there were many instances that I would blame my mom. Why did you want me to become a doctor? This is too hard. But she was my rock. She's still my rock, and she encouraged me, gave me different perspectives of things, during my studies, I also was almost always begging to God, praying that please pass me and I will serve you forever. Something like that. So something weird, but I think it worked. And here I am today.
Yeah, here you are. And do you are you glad that you did do it in the end? Do you wish you did something else?
I don't think I cannot imagine myself doing something else. I love what I do and I enjoy it. And I am so grateful that I wake up every day knowing my purpose and that I am aligned with my purpose. And it gives me so much joy.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. Are you going to tell your kids to be doctors?
Well, I was trying for many years. My kids are almost 17 and 13. My son, he's in year 12 next year, so I wanted him deep inside to be a doctor, but I don't want to push him. I just want him to make a decision of what he wants to do. I'll tell you a story. There was in year 10, they have this interview with the parents of their ATAR subjects. Do you remember that? So anyway, he chose actually biomedical, science related ATAR subjects. And the teacher was asking him, okay, it seems like you want to do medicine based on your ATAR subject choices. And he said, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then the teacher asked him why? Because I am going to be employable. And so I just melted there and so embarrassed in front of the teacher for what he said. I said, oh, my God, wrong answer. And so after that parent-teacher interview with my son, we sat down and talked about it. And I said to him, you don't need to be a doctor. I don't expect you to be a doctor. If you're not going to be a doctor, I'm happy. I just want you to be happy and choose what you want to do. So, and he actually cried. feeling of relief that he probably felt pressured that I'm expecting him to be a doctor. So, yeah, I'm not pushing anymore. And I'm not going to push my daughter too. Wow. She's in year 7, and she did say to me that she's not going to be a doctor mom.
That's a beautiful story of you sitting down with your son. So thank you for sharing. Now, I wanted to talk as well about how you're also an author. What inspired you to start writing?
So there were many inspirations, but I am also a member of Creative Careers in Medicine. That's why I saw you posting in there. Since being a member in 2018, I've been receiving DMs or, you know, reading posts, negative posts, you know, feeling of burnout or moral injury. And every time I make a comment, positive comment, and there were people emailing, directly messaging me, asking me, and there were maybe a handful of people that I've spoke over messenger calls about their question about radiology or question about their surgical career or ENT career or feeling of burnout or feeling lost. And I felt that, oh, they are feeling, you know, the feedback would be positive. And I said, oh, I have something to share. And so when I got chosen to be finalist and winner in one of the awards, it's called Osmanpreneur Awards in 2021, there was a call out of who wants to be part of the book project. And I said to myself, maybe I can write my story. Maybe I have something to share. And maybe I can share more to, I can reach out to more people. And so that started, didn't know that I can write, but that started a journey. So I don't know really how to write meaning from my brain to my fingers. What I did was, I was actually just journaling. It was just meditating and journaling what I want to share. And so that opened up a lot of my creativity outlet. And four anthology books later, I'm here with you talking in front of you, and we just released our latest anthology book.
That's awesome. And I wanted to ask more about Women Leading the Way, the latest one. What was the idea behind this book?
So the idea behind this book it started when I was doing finishing the Women's Business School program. It was a 6-month program last year. I am a doctor who has no business experience, and I've taken over a 43-year-old business. So I at the time when I took over the business, I felt that I need to lead, but I don't know how to lead, if you like. And I feel that my leadership at that time was really, really rusty, if you like. And I didn't know that I can lead. And so I was learning on my own, and I felt alone, frustrated, and sometimes burnout and overwhelmed. And so when there was a call out again, the same publisher for the second book, there was a call out about this Women Leading the Way. I thought about self-leadership. And I just wrote my journey towards self-leadership. And I wanted to share that to the world. Not only to women, but to the world, not only to women, but also to junior doctors, because I'm also as an adjunct senior lecturer or adjunct clinical senior lecturer at 3 universities. I can see that the medical students are like me, like us. We didn't know that we are going to be entrepreneurs as well. There's a possibility of us being entrepreneurs. And for me to share my experiences as a doctor / private practice doctor / entrepreneur can have a huge impact to their to their journey as a junior doctor and being as consultant. So I wanted to share that to the junior doctors as well.
Yeah, I love that. And it is so true. I don't think we realize that when you do fellow, become a specialist, a lot of work can be entrepreneur work, you know, outside of hospitals and private practice and clinics. So it is important to think about that. Now, what is your hope for those in the medical field right now? Like, what is your hope that your story can change things for them or impact? How would you like it to impact them?
Well, I'd like to open up their eyes that being a doctor, you don't need to be a slave to your career. You have the choice that you can work full-time in a hospital or full-time private, or you can have half that. And there's also, you have the choice as when you're already a consultant, you have a choice that you don't need to work full time. I only work 4 days. I used to work 4 days, and on my day off, I would end up being my Monday day off would be the busiest day of the week. And I tend to drive myself crazy, busy and fatigued on my day off. And then when I start my work on Tuesday, I'm already exhausted. So I just wanted to share that everyone's got a choice and be intentional with their work-life balance, if you like, that you don't need to, you need to prioritize and have boundaries, prioritize self-care, self-compassion, and have boundaries. Because I tend to say yes to everything, but I'm very intentional and protective of my boundaries now. There's a lot of, in my chapter, I shared my 9-step framework. So one of them would be the boundaries and having, avoiding negative self-talk and just believe in yourself. And you can always reinvent yourself in every stages of your life. So yeah, there's a lot, and I would love to share those 9-step framework to the readers.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, just a lot of what you've said, you can reinvent yourself at any stage of your life, that you don't need to be a slave to your career, that you can have choice. It's just so important to share. So I think it would be a great book for people to have a look at, to just think outside the box of what's maybe in front of you.
I just want to add to that, if you don't mind. I'll give you an example. My Monday day off, guess what I always do on my Monday? It's either I walk my dog on the beach, or I go to Cottesloe. My work is in Cottesloe. It is just a few minutes away from my home. I go to Cottesloe, especially now during summer. I go to the beach after the school drop off and sit down, write on my gratitude journal, write, 10 lists or more of everything that I appreciate and grateful for in my life, and then enjoy the solitude. And then after that, I go for a swim, be one with nature, and just, enjoy the time that I can make time for myself. So I enjoy that, and I love doing that.
Yeah, what a practice. And I think it's so important to look at what brings you energy, what makes you feel centered and relaxed, and try and make more time for it. It's so important, and it is worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you also touched on overcoming fear and self-doubt, not playing small. Do you have a personal story about this?
Do you want a medical story or a non-medical story? Okay. So growing up, I was never a sporty person. In the Philippines, sports and music it's not even part of the curriculum compared to here in Australia. So when I had after having my daughter, I started doing running, and I said, okay, I'll aim myself to do 5K. And I did that. And then I did my first ever race. It's actually a fundraising for breast cancer. It's Mothers, what's that called? Women's Classic. It's a yearly event fundraising for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Oh, wait, breast cancer something. I cannot remember. So I did that. And then I said, yeah. And then I think it's Mother's Day Classic fundraising for whatever, I cannot remember, but it's always pink. And then I said, oh, I can do 5K. Maybe I can aim for 10K. And then I can aim for 12K. And then I aimed doing 21K and then 42K marathons. I said, oh, it means that if I can do something and focus on something, then I can achieve something. And so few years ago, there was a student sonographer here at work and said to me, Vanessa, you've been running. Maybe you'd like to try triathlon. I said, triathlon? What is a triathlon? So it's the swimming, cycling, and running. Okay, I can run. I was biking when I was a kid. Maybe I know how to swim. And so we signed up to do a women's triathlon event. And we had 3 months to prepare. And so we started training together, three of us at work, training for the women's triathlon, for our first triathlon event, and went to the pool, 50 meter pool. I cannot even swim 5 meters. I was dying. I didn't know that I don't know how to swim. I don't know how to float. And so my goal was to finish a triathlon. So I was practicing and doing one-on-one coaching, and I did 3 years of coaching from back to zero basic swimming to swimming, open water swimming, and doing triathlon events. So I was able to overcome my fear of the ocean. I was able to overcome my fear of stingers. And I was able to overcome endurance events, so meaning, and then I was able to overcome the fear, the comparisonitis. I'm comparing my age group to the Aussies who've been swimming 40 years of their life or 50 years of life, or even my friends who are swimming, who are in their 60s and 70s who've been swimming all their life. I said, I cannot do what they do. I cannot speed up, but I know that I can be a finisher. So I was since doing these events, doing open water swim events, endurance events, triathlon, half Ironman, I've realized that I can have fun, and at the same time, I can celebrate my achievements, and then I can inspire other people, and then having fun with my like-minded friends, we can overcome a lot of fear and self-doubt. So, yeah, I'm so proud that I can do these things, starting at an older stage, if you like, midlife.
That's so fun.
As an adult.
Yeah, that's so fun. And thank you for sharing that story. And it just shows that you can, you know, think beyond, oh, I can't do that, that you worked at it and you were able to do it. Now, what do you say to someone listening, one of the listeners that's likely a doctor, maybe junior or senior, who is playing small and scared to claim their dreams?
So we worked hard to become doctors, and we even work harder being a doctor as a consultant or of whatever specialty. But I think we get lost to being busy, being busy doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Being busy, yeah, meaning crazy busy, like a hamster wheel, that it can be, we are susceptible to burnout. We are susceptible to over fatigue, and we're even in stress. And it just the cumulative stresses, fatigue can burn us out. I'm not immune to that. I can burn myself out as well, but I am very intentional with my energy, protective with my energy, and intentional with my self-care routine. So I make sure every day I wake up in the morning to start counting my blessings, writing on my gratitude journal. I meditate and try and surrender my day. Meaning, yes, I know that my day will be busy, but I'd like to surrender that to the if you believe in God, I surrender to God. Or if you believe in universe, I surrender my day every day. I surrender my patience and my team, and that we can have a great day every day and always show up every day with a positive perspective. Because my goal was to be a better leader, to be a better version of myself as a leader, as a mom, as a wife, as a friend, as a doctor. So for me to achieve that, I need to do a lot of inner work, not only hard work, but a lot of intentional, deep inner work, which includes the gratitude, meditation, reading a lot of self-help, listening to podcasts like yours, you know, investing in myself, educating myself. I geek out a lot on that. And I think that's a very important part of a doctor, so that we can be aligned, waking up every day with passion, with what we do every day at work and outside work.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's so true. We can be, like they say, human doings sometimes instead of human beings. And rest is productive.
Exactly.
Now, I ask this of everyone, what is balance to you?
Balance to me can be very subjective. I'm not immune to burnout, over fatigue, illnesses, like what I said. But I want to reiterate that balance means having a balance, doing the inner work, like what I said to you. My top priority would be service to God. For the past 12 years, I'm a member of our church choir. We sing three times a month for the past 12 years. That's my priority, top priority. Number two would be family and making time to being a parent and being, being a present parent is very important for me. And I love that I am able to do that, and it gives me joy to be able to do that as a doctor, as an entrepreneur. I can still make time to do school drop-off or school pick-up and attend school activities. And then the third would be work. I wake up every day enjoying my work. When I enjoy work, it means that it's not work. It gives me joy. It lights me up. My patients would not love being undergoing procedures, but doing procedures lights me up. I enjoy doing procedures, actually. but despite those three things, balance to me is myself is in the center of all these things. I am very intentional with that. I need to make sure that despite my busyness, I don't like using the word busyness, I call it productiveness. Despite me wearing many hats as a doctor, entrepreneur, mom, wife, author, triathlete, educator, myself and I is still the priority in the middle of everything. That's balance for me. And I'm very intentional not making myself burn out, although I know I can burn out, but I just, and if I feel I'm feeling burnt out or tired or overfatigued, I ask help. I'll give you an example. There was a period this year that there's a lot of stressors, there's a lot of negative people in my life at that time, and a lot of stresses at work and at home. And so it can be exhausting, and I can feel burnout. So I was brave enough, courageous enough to ask help. Shout out to Doctors Help Advisory Services of WA. I called in and asked help. And it was, for me, life-changing because it directed me to what I need to do. They directed me that, we acknowledge what you're, what's happening to you, and that you can do this, and, you know, giving you different perspectives. And I'm also shout out to my healthcare team who's helped me during moments of struggles. And I'm so grateful that I have a GP who's always there to listen. I've got my other specialist, GP menopause specialist, if you like, who's also helping me helping me to navigate the struggles of perimenopause symptoms. Ask help. It takes a village to where we are now, and I am so grateful for all the people who has helped me, supporting me. I'm grateful for my family, my husband, my kids, and my team who's helping me to do what I can do now.
Thank you for sharing and being so open and vulnerable about that. None of us are immune to burnout or a struggle like that, especially when you're juggling so many things. And it's really lovely to hear that you got the help that you needed with Doctors Health Western Australia. And I'll put some links in the show notes for those resources that are available in every state and territory for us. Now we're nearing the end. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you think would benefit the listeners?
I would like to share and celebrate that as a migrant doctor from the Philippines who underwent 18, it took me 18 years to where I am now. It took me 6 years to upskill as a radiologist. And it took me 10 years to overcome the moratorium. Don't know whether you know about the 10-year moratorium of all immigrant doctors needs to undergo. I was recently awarded the Filipino Australian of the Year Award in Canberra. It's the, for me, it's the highest honor of all of migrant doctors. The reason being because I want to dedicate that award to migrant people who are giving a lot of serving the community, local or national. I dedicate this to other migrant doctors who've gone through what I've gone through, who are still going through and will go through these struggles, obstacles, setbacks as a migrant doctor who just wants to be a doctor in Australia and save lives. So I want to dedicate my award because it means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to
Yeah, it really does. And I'm glad that you brought that up again, because I'm very aware, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are aware of the added difficulty international medical graduates have. Medicine's already difficult enough, but, you know, there's the exams, there's extra training. People can start from scratch again when they've already done a lot of their training overseas. And then a lot of international graduates are sent to places that aren't very well supported, like regional places of Australia, remote places. So that's difficult as well. So thank you for sharing your story, and that, you know, you made it, that, and dedicating your award to migrants and migrant doctors is really beautiful.
And I just want to add too, I'm wearing a pin that I just been gifted to this week. It says, don't know whether you can read it. I cannot read it. Storm don't last forever. How cool is that? Right? In every storm, there's always the rainbow. That I want to reiterate.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it's funny you say that, because right now in Sydney, as we're recording this, there's been a massive storm that's just started to clear up. So, so that's funny timing.
So I just want people to know that in every storm there's a rainbow. This thing shall pass too. So yeah,
for sure. Thank you for sharing that. How can people reach out to you, find your book? Where do they go?
So they can check, I call Dr. Google. They can just Google me, type my name, Dr. Vanessa Atienza Hipolito, which will show up in your show notes. I am in Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Thread. I've got my own website, drvanessaa.com. The link to the book, my books, will be there in my website. And if you want to know more about my business, Women's Press Imaging, which is, I just want to plug, it's a 43-year-old business, one of the first in Australia and the first in Western Australia doing private breast imaging cancer screening. So I am very privileged and honored to take over this business and celebrating my 10-year anniversary next year. And I'm just honored to be serving the women of Western Australia for their breast cancer care journey. And we have Women's Breast Imaging is also on Facebook and on the website wbi.net.au.
Thank you. And sounds like you have a lot to celebrate. It's been so great to have you on and hear your story.
I am so grateful too for having me. And thank you so much, Isabella. And more power to you, and congratulations for all you do. I love all your podcasts, and looking forward to hearing more about your interviews.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Balance Medics Handover podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, I'd love for you to take a minute to rate and review this podcast and click the follow button. For more resources, check out the Balance Medics website. The link to this will be in the show notes below. See you next episode.